shut up. Put it on Triple M. For the Herald Sun's Nissan Supercoach.
Welcome to the Friday Rob. Triple M rocks football.
It has to be said, there's been some pretty poxy Friday nights in recent times, but this ain't one of them. The Tigers are going beautifully, and Hawthorn have won their last 8 straight. It's one of the more anticipated Friday night clashes, and we can't wait for it. Sean Hampson's going to join us live in studio. Matt Spanger's going to join us live in studio. Ship off from the Chief. You'll hear the lot before the bounce of this fantastic game. And the best players in this media space are in this box. Damien Barrett, newsbreaker extraordinaire. He breaks them 6 weeks later. People follow him up and try and claim him, and we point that out. That's how it works. Hello, Purple.
Hello, Jim. And strange not to see Carlton in this slot tonight.
Well, it's great to see Richmond in this slot because they are in genuine good form. I know they got nutted on the line last week by Freo, but they play an exciting brand of footy and have got a good Chief recent record against the Hawks.
They have won 2 of the last 3. Should have beaten Fremantle last week. It was their own errors and inaccuracy in front of goal that cost them the game. So their form's as good as anyone's going.
Can this Hawthorn mighty machine keep rolling? Gary Lyon, as I welcome you, 6-time All-Australian.
Welcome, James Brayshaw.
Yes.
Well, the simple fact of the matter is, Jim, they have to. If there's any perception out there that they can afford, well, not to take their foot off the pedal, the reality is the two top teams at the moment are Western Australian sides. Yes. So we have the Hawthorn Footy Club as odds-on favourite for the flag at the moment, if you don't mind, and one mob paying out. They, as it stands right now, will travel to Perth to play their first final.
And if you don't win that, you have to go back there if you make the prelim.
If you don't win that, you've got to come back and win and then go back again. So to maintain those top two spots, or maintain touch with those top two spots, they just have to win tonight. And I've got great respect for Richmond. I've been slow to come around, but I have. They've convinced me, and I think tonight will be a belter. Well, thank God, I might add.
This is how it sits, Purple. The West Coast Eagles and Fremantle play the two expansion clubs this weekend, Greater West Sydney and Gold Coast. If they were both to win those, Greater West Sydney have to travel to Perth, and obviously West Coast head up to Metricon.
They win both those.
Yeah, okay, so they win both of those. If Hawthorn were to drop tonight, and that's a big if, then they are 2 goals behind the games behind the second team.
Yeah.
So that's how
important
it is.
Who they play next week? The Hawks play West Coast next week over in Perth.
That's the game.
Well, that's as it stands right now.
That's the second spot on the ladder.
They would be, if it goes to according to script, then they're playing for second spot next week.
Yeah.
But take your eyes off the ball at your peril tonight. Because this mob are playing really good footy. They've got a bit of a liking for the Hawks. God knows why. You can't imagine any side having a liking for the Hawks. Only played each other 7 times in 7 years, these two footy clubs.
What?
And
that's
never
strange,
played in a final. So
never?
Never played each other in a final, ever.
What, history of the two clubs?
Ever.
Even in the
70s? That
ever.
Can't be the case.
Ever.
In the 70s even?
Ever.
Wow.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
I'm blown away by
Chief,
that.
Chief, did you ever play against Richmond in a final?
Thank you. They brought one to the table.
Weren't normally around when we were playing.
Not the 80s, Jim, but they, in the 70s.
Weren't normally around.
Well, I'm stating fact. That wasn't their strongest era. They were very strong just before I got there.
Yes, 70s and 60s.
And haven't been strong since.
All right.
So it's going to be a belter tonight, and for all the right reasons. And well, let's face it, it's been a tough week in footy, and so
we're
much focus
to
and
that.
Talk
yes.
has been on everything else other than the footy. Mm. So it's just nice to be here and anticipating a terrific game.
How did you Nipsey that stat? Where did someone's handed you that? That's not something you would have gone and
researched it himself.
What, no. I left a lunch today. I went home. I spent 3 hours in front of the computer. I pull stuff out. I
Wolfpack know you are a bull artist. So that has come to you somehow.
It's what you get from the back row, Jim.
Actually, when I said that and you all responded like that, I was thinking, shit, did I read that or not?
He said, the old snorkel up the back's nodding his head.
Thank you very much. Yes,
that is extraordinary.
I would have thought in the early 70s.
Never
early to mid-70s.
No, I'm certain of it.
But, I mean, we're talking Hawthorn into the comp in 1920 or
25.
Yeah. And Richmond, one of the foundation nearly clubs.
Yeah.
So that's 100 years.
I just thought
you can't believe they haven't played a final in that time.
Wolf on fire early. Sort of thing that Spud really brings to the table.
Wolf on fire early.
Sort of stuff that Spud just dropped.
Get that into your third person segment. I'm sick of dominating it. it's going to be fantastic. I genuinely in my car today, Purple. Doesn't always happen. I thought this is going to be a ripper.
Yeah, it is. And look, we'll speak to Ben Dixon soon, won't we, to get the lay of the land from the bookmakers' charts. But I'm surprised at the line on it. I think it's
six
a lot closer than what he's going to tell us it's going to be.
And what are the Hawks paying?
$1.18.
Yeah, I think the head-to-head's ridiculous as well. $5.50 they're offering for Richmond, who, as I said, Their form's as good as anyone. They should have beaten Freo last week, the top team. Their form in the last couple of months has been outstanding.
Yeah, but mind you, they didn't. And Hawthorn put Freo to the sword by 70 and Sydney to the sword by 80. That's the basis of the line. We suspect that it's going to be much tighter than that. I certainly do.
Tight at the end, Gary. Where does Basha Hooley steer the footy as he brings it back in?
Pretty sure he'll kick it up here in the commentary box. Yeah, did you call that game, Chief?
He may just place the ball down and say, someone else can kick this one,
look
please.
After that.
It was amazing. It was incredible to watch it unfold. We all just sat there and, because we were calling. Were you calling for Fox, Chieftain?
When was it?
I think you were, because I remember hearing your voice on
yes,
the highlight.
Yes, we did do the game here.
So you're watching it and you go, you're looking at the clock, 50 seconds, and you think, oh, that's probably it for them. And they're all congregated right out here in front of us. And then he kicked it down the middle and all eyes just went, what is he doing?
Well, what it reminded me of, Gaz, is sometimes you see, and you and I are great NFL fans, sometimes you see when you get gun quarterbacks, cornerbacks almost daring the quarterback to throw it into a part of the ground that they think they can cover, and then if the quarterback's good enough, they pick the receiver off and it works. But I was watching it and I saw where the Freo players were positioned. I thought they're basically taunting him.
Did you think that, did you?
Well, when I saw the replays, not at the time, but when Fox showed us all the replays, I thought, well, you can actually see what they're doing.
Because you refute that, don't you, guys?
Well, when I say refuted, I don't. I'm not buying into it. It might be the case. But I just saw a normal zone.
I'm with Gaz.
I saw a normal zone.
They all came this side, so that's why there were more players over here. And you know it's not a set play for Richmond because who'd they kick it to?
No one else was there.
Who'd they kick it to?
Lambert.
Kane Lambert.
Yeah.
And what, just on that.
Smallest bloke out there.
Played a really good game. Best game, Kane Lambert.
Yeah.
He had to take some body.
Body, correct.
Some ball, some anything.
Just get it to ground.
And if he gave a free kick away, at least it would have given them a chance to reset and perhaps they're having a shot then from outside 50.
Just with Richmond, I mean, their turnaround has been extraordinary and you've acknowledged that tonight, Gaz. But if they lose tonight and then they've got Adelaide Crows next Friday night, they could be back into that zone they are so often in.
Another pearl.
Hello. Yep.
There is a chance if they lose tonight, they could be outside the eight by the end of this round.
Mm. If they get smashed by 15 goals.
Lots of things have got to fall, but there's another one for you. Jim, just put that one down.
This is Pearl Harbor. You're dropping that from your box. Landing everywhere.
Oh, I tell you what.
I think it required GWS, though, to beat one of those top two teams.
No, it does, but there is a chance, and as ridiculous as it sounds, that we're talking about them as a top four and maybe contender, that they might even be out of the eight, which is highly unlikely.
Jack Riewoldt upon the siren.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're not invested in the Richmond Footy Club, it's humorous to watch a grown man start punching the ground. But if you're Damien Hardwick or Brendan Gale or any, what are you doing there?
We put it to him on Monday or Tuesday, Damien Hardwick, and showed him the vision. Basho was right in front of us and he'd gone down on his haunches. I caught him live the peripheral bit of it. I didn't see him when he was down. And then on the replay on the access, when we showed it, I thought he was pointing. Now, whether he's pointing at Basher or he's pointing at the umpies, I don't know. But Dimmer just said, look, we love the passion. Everyone knows the person Jack is, and I think we all contend that he's got himself in magnificent shape right now. So they live with that. They just live with that. And the supporters love the passion. And you're right, it was quite funny. Big Ivan had to come in.
Well, that's
the
interesting thing, Gaz. If Ivan wasn't there and he wasn't physically restrained, what would he have added to that little skit that he was putting on?
He might have done a backflip down there and wandered over the umps on it.
Did you ever find any reason to start punching the ground?
I wouldn't have thought
so. Your glorious career.
And if I wanted to do that, I'd wait till I was inside, away from prying eyes, and then punch the living suitcase out of a locker or something. But not out there. To me, not in front of your opposition. It's like you're saying, this is how vulnerable I am.
Yep.
And I understand
we love
the emotion. We do love the emotion.
Vulnerability
in the game.
That he's got about him is what I am drawn to.
But
the fact he couldn't control himself, I know what you're saying.
It's great that a spectacle as it can also be viewed as a weakness, I think, from opposition players.
Character flaw, Jim, maybe, in Sam's eyes.
Sam would say.
You know what? And he's in Jack Riewoldt's 173. That's his ninth punch of the ground.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, you listen to you. You are a full wanker alert. That's what it is. Hey, I did love, Chief, Ross Lyon's handling of David Mundy kicking the goal in the presser afterwards when he just said that's what he gets paid for. So there was no acknowledgement that it was a nice clutch kick for goal from, you know, basically 50 out directly in front.
Well, he missed that one down at Geelong late last year, but that was after the siren. This one was just before the siren. But it's nice to get a shot at redemption so quickly after, you know, he would have lived with that one down at Geelong. It's funny.
And that wasn't a bad kick either.
It wasn't. It was well it again, it was 50 metres out.
Wet
and,
ball.
And it just drifted. You don't really know how long players hold on to these things because very few players get the opportunity to kick for a match either in the last 10 seconds of the game or after the siren's gone. So if you don't get the opportunity that often, it's nice to be able to wipe a bad one out of your memory.
But doesn't it once again underline and reiterate how important that skill is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you saw Cochin missed.
Yeah.
Martin missed.
He missed everything, Cochin.
Did Revolt miss one?
Yeah, he did.
It just, I'm staggered that we don't make a bigger deal of this. You know?
I agree.
I think really we do make a big deal. It's just that there's no solutions. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, the value of having... I mean, Darcy Moore, he might turn out to be the greatest goal kicker in the history of footy. His value goes up exponentially compared to a Jesse White or even a Travis Cloak. If you can convert and take your opportunities... I mean, that's a game gone from a Tiger point of view because they couldn't kick straight at goal. It's unbelievable. So the other one I loved about Rossy Lyon was when they asked him about the 50-metre penalty against Dustin Martin for squirting the water in the face of, was it Duffield? And he just looked at the journalist. He goes, not very nice. Would you like me to come over and squirt water into your face?
Lee Spur it was, though. Lee Spur. A good go.
Yeah, would you want me to squirt? How would you feel if I squirted water in your face?
Not very nice.
But it was the final. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because they'd been at each other. The umpire had been warning them.
Yeah.
And then he saw that. And he said, I'm not copping that.
I do like Ross's work.
Yeah, I do too.
Press conferences. Mm. I reckon he goes about them nicely. Mm. There's some little undertones of clip.
Mm. Oh, yeah, no.
And some little undertones of tension and sort of I'm not particularly happy.
And just does not care what any journo thinks of him.
No, which I just reckon is brilliant. I love the way he goes about it. The pack, where are they coming?
The originality of that stat I gave, apparently... never before heard or written anywhere.
That's it.
I don't operate off the other people's stuff.
No.
I just did my own stuff.
That's it.
And it's an original.
Can you validated.
What?
By 7:50 when this game starts, can you come clean on where you got it from?
I read it.
Where?
Well, I'm trying to think. Might have been in the paper today. But I'll find it. I'll find it.
You're
but,
not.
Anyway, this is where it gets most airplay, Warrior.
Well, that's true.
And that's when we claim it.
You're not doing something I like going with, Gaz.
What?
And I do it quite a lot in the summer, actually, when you get Nipsey's with the cricket commentary who, they go to social media and aren't exactly complimentary. And let's say it's Darren from Mount Isa.
Yeah.
And I'll just go on the commentary. Great to hear from Darren up there in Mount Isa, loving the commentary loving the coverage.
You're not
doing a bit of that.
You do that to me when I text you and tell you how big
Chief.
A tool you've been. No, I'm not, because it's overwhelming tonight.
Is it?
Yeah.
From everywhere.
So you're not doing that?
No, I'm not. not at all.
We just need to clarify that.
I'll let you read it.
He's not doing that.
Not doing that, apparently.
No. I'll let you read it if you want. It's quite extraordinary. Well, you can't get a hold of it just at the moment.
Just to hand, Damo?
There is, Jim, and that is that Hawthorn's deal to play matches in Launceston has been increased by 5 years, so all the way through now until the end of 2021. The details of it will play out over the coming days, but the current deal expired at the end of next year, and the Premier of Tasmania, Will Hodgman, tonight at the Hawthorn function has announced that extension. Chief, it's at least three matches, isn't it, at Launceston each year? Is it even more than that? It's four, is it?
Four on a pre-season game, it used to be.
Right, well, there's the details around the extension are not yet being released, but they will soon, and yeah, it's great for great
a
for
wonderful
Hawthorn
relationship and
great for Tasmanian
benefits for both sides.
You think it'll be more games? Is that what you said?
No, I don't know what it's going to be, Gaz. It's obviously four home and away games that has been in the current model, I'd imagine it'll be very similar because it's worked well now. That's the second or third deal they've had. Jim, that leaves North Melbourne. Obviously in Hobart, with that deal expiring also at the end of next year.
End of next year.
So you'll look
well
to extend...
Well down the track of extending it. We absolutely love it. So I think it's brilliant. And my view of Hawthorn down there is they can stay there as long as they want, given how heavy they've lifted. Other mobs were there and took off and didn't like the look of it, and they went down there and said, we think this is brilliant, have turned it into this amazing Hawthorn fortress in the top half of Tassie. I think it's fantastic. So that's good news.
But North will extend as well, beyond 2016.
Yep. Now, Adam Goods we need to touch on. Mm. And this extraordinary week we've had, Purple, and it's one of those weeks where so much has been said, you actually, halfway through, you sort of don't know what who said what and why and how it all got said. And
can we just preempt it by saying, I would imagine that as I look along the boxes, let me have a look, earnest sort of setups, that they might do 40 or 50 minutes. We're not going to do that.
No.
Because it's been...
We don't do that on Triple M.
The bandit's been done to death, and I think our opinions are all pretty well known, and we're not going to flog it. There is one element today that's come out that disturbs me, which I will, am happy to talk about, but the rest we'll do pretty
well.
We'll
talk about it now. That's the CEO of the AFL not handling a question that he was asked by Neil Mitchell.
The story was, in the paper today, the South Melbourne arm of the Sydney Swans cheer squad have threatened to take eggs into a ground.
Yep.
And they're going to obviously start lobbing at blokes and start booing, which when I read, I thought at first I thought it was a joke, and then I thought that's inciting violence.
Mm. Yep.
And third, I thought the AFL will jump all over this and threaten a person with a life ban if they were to throw an egg. Mm. Neil Mitch, Gil McLaughlin with Neil Mitchell on AW this morning had this to say.
Are you comfortable with some Swan supporters saying they'll sneak eggs into the ground and egg anybody who boos?
I think everything that people are saying or what they're doing, we have to be looking through the lens of where we're trying to go here, which is... to get a legend of our game and a great leader of our game, Adam, back playing and playing where he feels comfortable, accepted, embraced. And, you know, whether eggs and other things actually help for that's for other people to debate. That's the lens I think everything should be scrutinised through.
But sure, you can't have fans going and throwing eggs at other fans, surely.
I think there's all lots of different issues about people saying what they should or shouldn't do or what's going to happen. I don't know whether they're legitimate or not.
Poor. It's an easy answer, Gil. It is, if anyone throws an object, an egg or otherwise, at another person inside a ground at an AFL match, they are banned for life. And your prevarication there is poor leadership, I reckon. That was a very black and white answer to be made. Really strong, tough leadership from the top of the AFL, and I'm staggered that you didn't make it.
Watching it through the lens of a person who wants to bring some eggs into the ground, it's not, you don't look at it through that lens. You block that lens.
It's unacceptable for the damage that it can do. I mean, an egg can feel like a rock when thrown from any sort of distance. And imagine if it hit a kid in the eye and blinded
Chief,
a kid.
Let's not tiptoe around this. This is the CEO of the AFL being asked if he's comfortable that someone's threatened to throw eggs, and he didn't put it to bed.
Didn't address it, did he?
Straight away.
Well, the other thing, Purple, is the kid is a very important thing, Chief, obviously. But we all know, probably four or five each, tradesmen who are 100 kilos plus, if they get hit by an egg, they're just up out of their seat, Purple, and they're going and finding the bloke that did it, and good luck.
Jim, it's a tinderbox as it is right now, and I'm concerned, even without reading those comments this morning, I'm concerned anyway because I think Paul Marsh is sort of encouraging people to point out those that boo in the crowd.
Well, Nathan Buckley, who speaks so beautifully on so many matters, says to clip someone. Yeah. You can't do that either, Jim.
He went back to try and, you know, backed over and said, I don't mean physically clip, but I mean, you know, give them a bake or a cook. But, I mean, it's provocative language. And in this environment, we know because we've debated it, it's split down the middle here. And people will take serious exception to another person calling them a racist if in their own mind they, even, I mean, there was a woman over in Perth who was highlighted on the news, and her husband had to come out and say she was booing the umpire. She was booing an umpire decision, and she became the face of the booing over there. This is where we're at right now. Hmm. And if we are encouraging people to take those matters into their own hands and then determine how people are thinking and what they're doing, then I think it's a recipe for trouble, and I'm concerned about that.
I'd suggest, Purple, that if Gil was in this conversation, he would say, well, I wasn't condoning it, but what he didn't do is smash it hard enough.
Yeah, but Jim, I think on the whole issue of this matter, Gil has been very slow. And I'm not claiming to sit here to know what he should have done, but he's waited too long. He waited too long after Adam Goods did the initial spear motion on that round 9 game in Sydney. He then waited too long, I believe, during the week. And when he first broached this topic publicly at a press conference on Monday, he skirted around the issue again. He's trying to just be everything to everyone at the moment on every issue. This is not an issue where you need to be everything to everyone. You need to be firm in what you believe in, and we know what he believes in. Just come out and say it. And again, he's going to be suffering by way of comparison with his predecessor, Andrew Demetrio. We know for a fact Andrew Demetrio would have made a very strong stance on this long before Gillon McLachlan has made any form of stance on it. And it would have been one that would have not made Andrew at all popular, but it would have at least structured the AFL platform around what they stand for. And right now, I reckon they've had a commission meeting during the week and we still don't exactly know. And this morning, Gaz, and you're right to highlight Gillon McLachlan's pretty weak response to a very simple question. What are you going to do if people bring eggs into a ground? And he couldn't even rule that part of this debate out.
I understand how difficult for him in the other forum is because, you know, he also doesn't want to be seen to accusing people of racist behaviour and all, but they've got to that conclusion because that's where Adam thinks it's at, and we understand the rationale behind that. But it was an indication of how muddled their thinking is this morning. And I repeat, that was as black and white a no-brainer as I've ever heard. Yep. And when Neil Mitchell put it to him, he should have said, Neil, we will never, ever tolerate anyone going into a ground at AFL, or any AFL ground, not just at this level.
With any form of missile. Yep.
And allow that or stand by while that gets thrown at someone.
How does the Sydney Swans stance sit with you, Purple? They've been very, very strong. Their chairman, Andrew Pridham's been very strong on the racist part of it, but also on the bullying and on the, you know, the disgraceful way that their champion's been handled.
Yep.
How does that sit with you? Their stance?
My take on the way they've done it, Jim, is that they've wanted the AFL to do something long before now about it. They chose to take the path, and it was with Adam Goods's, contribution to this tactic, to not say anything until this week. But it obviously got to a point last Sunday night in Perth where they had to do something. So they've lived it long before this week. And last week was not just a tipping point. It was just coming screaming over the top and coming down the other side. They had no choice but to go public. I've got no dramas with them. They've lived it. They're privy to statements and emails and other things they receive that clearly to them suggest that it is largely racism.
All right, so as we finish this conversation, short of Adam Goods getting to the end of this season and choosing to retire, what can possibly be done about this?
And that's scary.
Let's
component.
Be honest. Yep. And he might have thought anyway that, you know, hopefully Swans go deep into September and this might be it for him. I've got no idea. But let's say he does and he retires and therefore people haven't got anyone to boo at anymore.
Yep.
What else can possibly be done?
My take on it is, and I think it's very fortunate that the next game is at Geelong where you've got some amazing footy people, Colin Carter, Brian Cook, Chris Scott and Joel Selwood. And I would go as far as having Joel Selwood grab the microphone as he runs either onto the ground or does it an hour before the game starts and address the crowd. I think it needs something extraordinary like it. And I think that Joel Selwood talking to the crowd personally, not on a scoreboard replay, but personally asking them and pleading with them to do what is right, I think that's a good thing. And I think it's good that it's Geelong. I actually do think it's good Geelong. And I really hope that Adam Goods makes himself available for that game. Because I think if he misses next week as well, it's going to make it harder for him to come back.
We talked about this last night, Jim, and I, on the way home from the footy show at about 12:30.
We had
a gutful of each other by that stage. But I don't know whether it's ever going to stop, the booing. Mm. Because there's this pack mob mentality that will pile on. There are those young kids, 17, 16, 18, who are smart asses generally in life and think it might still be funny, so they won't get it. And I just, in lots of ways, I'd like us to ignore it. And I think it gives it oxygen in some ways. But that's probably unrealistic as well, given the landscape of the media. And I hold great hope that it won't happen again, but I'm not sure that it won't. People are just texting the Wolfpack, just saying, how good is that original stat?
That's it.
Glenn Bose says, well done, Wolf. That is the first time I've ever heard it. You're a legend. I wouldn't be surprised if others. I think Kev Bartlett will run with it next week.
He'll jump all over it, Kev.
Hey, Chief. How would I know if Kevin Bartlett had it, Chief?
No, he'll go with it now.
He will now. Exactly. So it's nice originally. So thanks for your support, everyone, on the pack.
Downright mischievous now.
I like it. I'm all over it.
Yes, that's it, Jimmy.
All right. Certainly the first time I've heard it.
Yeah.
There's a few out there yelling at the radio right now, just screaming. screaming in fits of temper.
That's an originally. I think it'll get picked up.
Got that, all of you?
I think it'll get picked
and
up.
And I appreciate that, bloke, Glenn, for saying, well done, Wolf. Nice original stat. Glenn Bose.
That's it.
Good work.
All right. Time for this. I think it's a golf bag back in the studio. Golf bag, hit the sting, please.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off.
Now, Chief, I can't feature again, surely.
We need to very quickly tip off on, first and foremost, all those people that have been booing Adam Goods.
Yep.
For whatever reason, it really doesn't matter what your motivation is now. It doesn't stack up. You've got to stop. The AFL community is pretty united on this front, so they've got to get over it and let it go. So ship off the booers.
Yep.
The Swans fans, led by Stephen Johnson, the South Melbourne arm of them, and all those that are talking about eggs, that's a disaster waiting to happen. You need to ship off too, the lot of you.
Ship right off.
While we're on racism,
yes,
this one hurts. Hulk Hogan.
Oh, Hulk.
Sacked by WWE for a racist rant about his daughter's African-American boyfriend.
Yes.
He's no longer involved. He's been shipped off for us.
Shipped him off.
So come on, Hulk.
Ship off Hulk for being racist. He was. Mm. He was going to be the general manager of it all.
Yeah.
And he's been sacked.
All right.
Ship.
Ship.
Right. Now, this is an interesting one. We love all sports, and we love all Australians, of course, and the Australian women's basketball team, the Opals, is a very, very strong team on the world stage. You know, Lauren Jackson's a superstar.
Yes.
The next Lauren Jackson is Liz Cambage.
Yes.
She's got a few issues, the girl. Well, Jim, the Opals had a training camp and she's decided to go to a music festival instead of turning up on time at the camp.
What's that about?
And I'm led to believe it was a paid gig that she turned up at the music festival for. It was a very good festival. And then booed up when she got dropped from the Opals.
Am I allowed
to do that.
Am I allowed to comment
not
on
yet.
This?
Not yet. Just to give you a little bit. Just to give you a little bit more information.
Yes.
So Basketball Australia were very keen to have a chat to her and spell out everything, and there were a few issues going on, a bit of social media flying around. So they all got together apparently last Monday and had a meeting. And she said, do you mind if I, you know, bring my mum and my agent and whatever come in? Yeah, all good. Also turned up with two lawyers.
Oh, no.
Then they apparently, and I'm told on pretty good authority, Jim, pleaded that there wasn't sufficient notice given about this training camp. Basketball Australia very quickly tracked back to an email from December, January, February, March. A monthly email trail that clearly spelt it out. Then they went with their other trump card, and that was to say, well, hang on, this isn't exactly policy. It's a one-off application of the rules. They said, well, it happened 2 weeks ago to Paddy Mills, who didn't go to Croatia because he had something else on. So they just shot them down beautifully on every front and said, Liz, you need to ship for a little while. So she's been shipped, and hopefully she comes out bigger and better for the Opals when she does come back.
I've got nothing, Chief. You shot me down four times. My argument there.
Nice.
Walter Palmer.
Who?
Oh, yeah. A dentist from Minnesota.
Get him, Chief.
His hobby is passion is big game hunting. He's killed just about everything on the face of the planet.
Saw this.
So, poor old Cecil the Lion, who was the star attraction of the Zimbabwe National Park, was lured out of his protected home with bait, and then old Walter Palmer decided to use a crossbow to kill him.
No, come on.
So we can only hope that at some stage when Walter's out hunting, that one of nature's great beasts finds Walter without a weapon.
Cecil's brother.
And says, I might have a little bit of a nibble on you, my friend, because you are just shipped off completely.
Yeah, a little bit of a nibble too.
And the final one now. We keep a track of all our competitors, and we love to hear, you know, this is a, how many people would be involved in broadcasting our great game?
Hundreds. Down the boxes.
So many.
150.
Well, I found one last week that we need to take issue with. Have a listen to these comments.
And the margin is 66 points. So it's got big hundreds written all over it. Sort of Jim Brayshaw style, Chief. That sort of big hundred.
Okay. Talking about yourself in the third person and pumping yourself up for big hundreds. I'm sorry, Jim. Again, 5 weeks in a row. Ship off!
Truth is my defence.
Not in this instance. You've been shipped, and rightfully so.
It was a big hundred.
It was.
138.
138, Gary.
Yeah,
not at the end.
Not sure that's anything to do with you.
Correct.
Well, I must admit, Chief, by that stage of the game, I had lost my way.
Lost a bit of it.
It had been banked that game for so long, I was thinking up stuff to go with. But I like it. I do like it. Very nice ship-off segment. Well, I've just seen the Duke wander in with a real sort of blue puffer number. What's he... What's he rolling with there, the jacket?
No. He's got Beck's jacket
yes,
on.
He's taken Beck's jacket.
Grabbed Beck's bloody...
On the way out of the Hawthorne residence.
Unique low jacket on out the door.
Oh, no. Have a look at him.
Oh, come on,
have a look
Duke.
At the Duke.
You've got Beck's jacket on, you
idiot. Where are we at, Duke?
Duke.
When you start getting fashion advice from you.
Come on, Duke.
Let's just have a look around the room. Chief looks like a hobo for a start.
Well, it's going on
you,
Twitter.
Mate, you're, look at you. 1980s
Chief.
Bogan
hey,
jacket.
Duke, it's at least they haven't got me Mrs. Unique Low 3499 puffer vest on.
It'll go,
come on.
It'll go on Twitter and you watch them be
you
positive.
You watch the pack rip it.
Hey, there'll be a positive reaction to this jacket.
No, there won't be dust.
The pack will take that down to get
it
off
stuffed
quick.
A lot of you.
Look at that jacket. All right. Have a look on Twitter. You'll see that directly. Tonight is White Ribbon Night, by the way. Triple M's partnering with White Ribbon to help raise funds and awareness to stop violence against women. Find out how you can also help and donate at whiteribbon.org.au. Damien Barrett's here, as is Gaz, and of course, the Chief. And at the back, we've got Luke Darcy, not too far away. Sean Hampson isn't too far away as well. Not playing tonight, but played pretty good football recently. Matt Spanger as well.
Pack are up and about tonight. I think they're looking forward to the game. They're all here. Deb Cannon's on fire.
Yep.
Her son coaches Canada.
Oh.
In Australian rules footy.
Wow. Okay.
And she said they play the USA, so good luck to them. But Georgie Kiparis, they're all here. I haven't seen Teddy, the leader of the pack. He might be here. There's that many of them.
Might still be at work. He's in Perth, isn't he, guys?
He's a Perth boy. Chaos has been active. The former leader who's taken the passing of the baton very well. Has to be said, unlike Warriors Mate, who we had to ship right off altogether.
Yep.
Oh, yes, Teddy. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, does it still make a sound? What's that got to do with anything, Big Nose?
The stat.
Where's it? Hashtag first time anyone's still alive heard the stat. Very good point, Teddy. That's why he's the leader. So it's nice to see. Always got a good feel for the interest in a game, Jim, by the reaction of the pack. And they are out. Leslie Keefe, they're all here. They're just they're solid. Solid. Yeah. And right behind me.
No doubt. Speaking of you, are you... Oh, here we are. Already got...
Oh, no.
The photos coming through of the Duke's puffer.
Duke's puffer is being modelled by a Sheila.
Oh,
Jim.
Of course it is.
Come on. No. Have a look at that.
Oh, come on, Duke. Oh,
that's it, Duke.
Where's the end of Duke?
He's not a good start for Duke. No. Not a good start. He's wandered in. He thought he'd sneak in the back of the box.
That's it. And quietly go about his business.
He's none for 140.
It's sort of, I'll tell you what it looks like to me. It's a bit sort of Roger Moore, James Bond, sort of early 80s. You know those ones that were up in the snow?
Yeah.
Where a couple of the snow bunnies just had that sort of gear rolling.
Or it looks like something that one of Panch's drivers would wear at the Melton Trot.
So get on Twitter. I think it's up there now, is it not? So you'll see the photo of the picture. Oh, absolutely love it. Hey, the umpiring last week. Now, our fans are passionate about the way the game's officiated, Gary. We saw, and Chief and Purple, we saw a massive spike in free kicks paid. Why would that happen? I'm not really sure.
Because Alistair Clarkson said to, if the free kicks are there, pay them.
It'll alleviate congestion. The response to the build-up where everyone was saying there's too much congestion, too many stoppages, and we're sick of it.
And when Clarko sneezes, AFL House gets the flu.
Yeah, but the problem is the umpires didn't tell anyone they were going to do it. Yeah, so everyone got caught by surprise.
Except what about Wayne Campbell, just on that? Sorry, guys, did you want to say? No, just Wayne Campbell. He did wash his hands of what went on, didn't he? I mean, I don't mind what he did, but that's an issue with umpires.
To his credit, Warren, he said, look, they got it. They didn't quite get it right. I have heard him say that during the week, that, you know, it wasn't...
But he said it wasn't a directive. It was not a directive. The umpires had effectively taken it upon themselves to
took it a bit more
determine
literally.
Differently to they had the previous 16 matches. But look, I mean, the stats were, there were basically 9.5 free kicks per match extra than there had been for the previous
and
matches
the least,
this year.
And the least number of stoppages for the season.
Yeah. I wonder, I would imagine that both Damien Hardwick and Alistair Clarkson, when the umpire, they still go into the room, by the way, the umpires?
I think so.
Before they do, yeah.
Yeah. And they'd say, now, I don't want to know everything, but what are we expecting
from
what we saw last week, or are we expecting what we saw? You'd absolutely ask that question before tonight. And from our point of view, and this is what makes it hard, I mean, our policy is not to dwell on umpires too much at all. But, I mean, halfway through the second quarter, we're all sitting there looking at each other going, what is going on?
Why are they doing this?
I watched Melbourne, one of the few plays in Kilda. They got pinged for 12 holding the balls.
It hasn't been paid all year.
Mind you, they might have been. Big fella's walked in.
Have a look.
Good looking man.
No, extraordinarily good looking.
Striking man.
And playing bloody good footy until he's missed, of course. Sean Hampson, we're talking about. And welcome to you.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me.
Shawnee.
You must be happy with, I mean, not missing tonight, obviously you're not happy, but you've come back in and it's been good.
Yeah, I have. It's obviously been a tough season. You know, I wasn't sure if I was going to play another AFL game this year, but the VFL form was all right, and the message I was getting from the coaches was just, mate, you're doing all you can, you just got to wait for your opportunity, and if he goes a bit errant with an elbow, and I get my shot, so...
Well, you grabbed it. You grabbed your opportunity to play a really good game, and then when Yvonne come back, you maintain your spot. So that gives you some confidence. Is the ankle, when you rolled the ankle, yeah?
I sort of rolled my ankle just before halftime last week. It's been pretty similar in my career. I sort of get up and running, and then... Right. Something like that puts me down, but hopefully it's just the 1 week, so I play next week against Adelaide.
And I know there's so much water going on the bridge for the Tigers, but what are your thoughts beyond this year? Have you had that conversation? I know you might be contracted for next year, don't
they? Yeah, I'm contracted next year as well, so maybe we'll play that one out and see where we go then.
With the sub rule, clubs are already starting to play two ruckmen much more than we've ever seen in recent times, often third up at stoppages and things like that. So the second ruckman, if you like, at a club's getting a better look in anyway. The sub goes next year, which we suspect it might. That might even get players like yourself playing every week, which would be great.
Yeah, that could definitely work in the tall players' favours. So, I for one hope it goes, but... I don't know if there's any players that really are too fond of the sub rule. So, I think it'd be good for the game.
Hey, Sean, I read with interest or heard some comments that you made recently, and this, I think, was married into the fact that you'd come back into the senior footy, you were playing some good footy, and you said along the lines of you feel you're still developing. You're still getting a handle on certain things, the way the game's played, maybe at a second club here, but still feeling that there's plenty of development still to come in your own game?
Yeah, I think there is. I was a late starter to the game, and I think it's something that if I'm playing till I'm 35, I think I'll still be picking things up and getting used to the game. And it's something that I'm constantly working on, mate. We've got a good bunch of people at Richmond to help me with that.
How demoralising was the loss as it panned out the way it did last week against Fremantle? Sure.
Yeah, it was tough, you know. We sort of we work our season in 4 week blocks, and that was the last week of a 4 week block for us. Against currently the top side in the competition, who we'd beaten previously earlier in the year, and to sort of lose any game that close, let alone against a top team, it hurts. Yeah.
The Adam Goods issue. Can I get your view on it and what we need to do as a competition and a fan base to rectify what's happened?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to come up with any solutions for you boys, but I mean,
it's hard.
My own personal view is, regardless of anything else, I mean, the man is an incredible AFL player, Brownlow medalist, Australian of the Year, so at very least you could just show a bit of respect by just holding off on the booze.
It had a big impact on Shane Edwards, for example, and we suspect on the Indigenous players, certainly at all of the clubs.
Yeah, it seems to have, and I don't know if it is a racist issue or not. I sincerely hope it's not, but at worst case it is. So we're wearing the Dreamtime jumper tonight. I think more of a mark of respect for Goodsy as a bloke and a player.
And what's the week been like, mate? I mean, you got the what seems to be the benchmark of the competition in the Hawks. You got a good record against them. Won two of the last three. Dim is good mates with Al, so there's some history there. I mean, have you noticed the and the weather's come good late in the week, so there's this sort of half a September sniff about it.
Yeah, it's got a great feeling about it tonight. The sun's been out all day. And all week, mate, it's been really positive. By the end of the meeting after the Frio game, it was on to Hawthorn, so we didn't want to dwell on Frio. We reviewed the game and we moved on, but it's been business as usual, mate. But, they're playing some unbelievable footy, but I think on our day we can get anyone.
If they counted the Richmond best and fairest tonight, what do you think the top three would be?
I think top three would probably be Edwards, Rant, and maybe Cochie might be up there too. He's played some exceptional games this year.
It's important that you get someone like Edwards into that mix. It's been Deledio, Cochie and Rance, Deledio, so it's important to be able to introduce one or two new ones, isn't it?
Yeah, he's having an unbelievable season. Some of the things he can do, I wasn't really aware of until I came to the club, and even watching him at training, he's just, he's an exceptional footballer and athlete.
How do you reckon Meigs went in Mad Max, Shawnee boy?
Mate, it was a humble little role, but I thought what she did was good, and she absolutely loved filming it, and she loved the end result.
Namibia
it was, yeah.
Bloody hell, how long was she away for?
So she was away for, I think it was 2 or 3 months. In my off-season, I got to go over there and join her for, I think it was a week.
What sort of a joint's Namibia?
It's actually surprisingly good. You might not think of much from what you saw on screen, but, it's sort of German architecture everywhere, right on the beach, and then they've also got, one of the world's largest deserts as well, so it's an interesting place.
You got the new addition, how's that all going?
How
old now?
He's 14 and a half months, he's...
Not so new.
He's unreal, yeah. Mm. He's just sort of getting to that age now where he's laughing lots, he's talking lots, he's up and walking, and he's heaps of fun.
He's going to be a tall little rooster.
He is, yeah. He's already sort of, I think, 90th percentile height-wise, so... I don't think he was ever going to be too short, but...
you're due to catch a break at some stage, but things turn around for you on the front. Hey, we have loved you coming back in and playing as well as you have. It's a great story. Keep that going, and we can't wait to see the Tigers rip into September and have some great success.
Yeah, appreciate it, boys. Thank you very much.
Good on you, mate.
Sean Hampson's a beauty. The very controversially dressed Luke Darcy has wandered down to the front row here. Duke, you know I'm normally with you, but... That one looked to me to be one that you might have made an error with.
Now, Jim, me just say off the top. It's one
electric
of those,
blue puffer jacket.
It's one of those situations, and Spang will appreciate that in a minute, one of the more fashion-forward people. Probably what will happen, Gaz, in a couple of years, maybe 3 years, Gaz will start wearing one. He'll finally catch. I mean, Damo probably won't maybe for a long while. We can rule Chief out, but it's just a cut.
It is a unique low. I knew it was.
A couple of years ahead. Just a couple of years ahead. Hey, no. Snorkel, you big nose.
Not happy.
Mate, you can take your rather large nose and you can shoot right off as well at the back. But Dirk, but aside from that, sometimes you're just a bit far ahead of the rest of the pack, Gavin. I'm very comfortable.
Let it go, Dust.
Spang's got one in his wardrobe.
Jailissa Cameron, no. Just no. And I like this one from Pickles, who I think he's in the leadership group. Is Duke rocking fly eyes as well? Got a bit of camel, have you?
Bit of moose knuckle.
No, not a moose. Not a roll with a moose knuckle.
Nice life jacket, Duke. Right. That's from JB Routes. So maybe Ben says might need to run in the twos. I'm with you, Duke. You didn't get it right, but soldier on.
This is the bloke who turned up in the worst turtleneck sweater that we've
soldier
ever...
Soldier on, champ. Hey,
which, by the way, hasn't been seen again since. Yeah, did you notice that?
Kanye was wearing it the other week. He won't be wearing a unique low puffer. I'll give you the tip.
Come on, Jim. Introduce our guest, please.
Sorry.
Matt Spanger joins us from the Hawthorn Footy Club.
Spang's all over it. He loved it.
Let's ask him.
Straight off the top, what did you think of the electric blue puffer, Spang?
Yeah, it looks a bit Marty McFly-esque.
I'm not sure that'd go down well at Hawthorn. They're pretty switched on, fashion-conscious mob.
Yeah, some of the boys are really ahead of the curve.
Who leads the charge?
Oh, Matty Suckling and Taylor Duray think they're the man about it. And obviously, Josh Gibson's a classic who thinks he's, the style king.
And you go with a more rugged sort of Jesus style.
Yeah, it seems to be working all right for me.
And Birchall, we believe, may even be below anyone else.
Oh, yeah, he has no idea. So, and Hodgie's not far behind, but we don't like to tell him that much.
Speaking of Birch, I ran into him at the Mission Impossible preview on, I think it was Tuesday night. And he slithered his way in, but more importantly, on his arm was a magnificent-looking woman. How has that happened?
Yeah, it's amazing. I know footy gives you many things, I suppose. Now, Lil's a great bird. And
far too good.
Oh, absolutely. No, well, I mean, many are too good for Birch, but no, she's a great bird, and he's happy, which is great.
Hey, Matty, let's get an update on your status, please. You're out with a hammy. How long are you going to be missing for?
Yeah, probably the standard 3 to 4 week hammy, so it's not too bad, but, just got to take care of these things.
Not the right time of the year to be getting out of the side, just as they're gathering momentum.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, there's never really a great time to be injured and out of the side, but you're right. The boys are playing some great footy at the moment, and it was certainly nice to be part of the last month. But, I mean, you know, that's our system. Blokes will come in. I mean, we've got Chipper in this week, and he's a pretty handy replacement.
Nice of Chief to point that out for you, Matty, just to give you a lift on your way into the Triple M book. You tend to have a great positive outlook. You wanted in, and we said that to you. So, hey, that's the game. I understand that. I just got to get myself right, and you tend to be glass half full about life and footy.
Yeah, certainly. Well, especially when it comes to footy. I mean, I've had a fair share of injuries, and I find that most people don't really want to hang out with you if you, you know, glass half empty kind of attitude, and that just makes things worse. Yeah. It just snowballs from there.
We find that with Chief.
Yeah. So for me, it's just, you know, do the work. Results will come eventually. And I mean, last year you had a great year, and then, you know, every now and then you have a bad one.
The common person just warms to your footy story, just the toil you've endured and making it through to the premiership team last year. Did you find a stage last year, Matt, where you actually did feel part of it legitimately, having toiled for so long and so hard?
Yeah, certainly getting a bit of continuity with the senior team last year. I mean, the club as an organisation in general makes you really feel part of it all the way down, and I think that's probably why we've had so much success. But certainly from a personal level last year, playing more regular senior footy, you really do become closer with the boys as a result of that, and that's sort of when it started to feel a bit more like that for me.
What's your relationship like with Clarko? Describe that for us.
Oh, to be honest, it's really honest. I think when I got to the club originally, I was at a stage in my career where I needed that honesty, and he was. And he, I mean, it's not always what you want to hear sometimes, but you know, he manages the boys pretty well, I think, on different levels. You know, it's all this talk about, you know, the young blokes maybe need a bit more nurturing, but someone like myself probably needs a bit more between the eyes. And for that, I really thank him. And so as a result, we've got a good relationship.
Yeah, I reckon that's spot on. Whether it's in your situation where you're trying to, you know, get a hold of a second chance, or a player coming towards the end of a career, you know, wrecked by injury, that real honest feedback is so critical. I reckon it can help you, and clearly that's what Clarko's got. We also read, though, where he doesn't take so much training, and he's not as, you know, he's delegating far more, which when you've been in a club for a long time, you have to. How does that work?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I think certainly early days in his career, from what I've been told, and you hear the stories, he probably took a bit more control himself. But certainly my time at the club, he's delegated, you know, and which was great for us last year when Brendan Bolton had to take over for about a month or so. So, and it works pretty well. And as a result, we've got great relationships with all the line coaches, and we deal a lot sort of specifically with them. So it's good on game day.
Would you be one? We saw a little bit of return on the weekend. We saw Rossi Lyon here in the twilight game against Richmond, where he took the group at three-quarter time and just had him in a circle. And then we saw Chris Scott down at Geelong, who put the fear of God into the whole group. And there might have been Dimmer, I think, also gave his boys a massive cook either this week or last. Are you one that, like, they pick their marks? Can you handle one of those? And have you had one?
Yeah, I've had a few in my career, and I certainly, as you said, there's a time and a place, I think. And you get good coaches have an innate ability to know when the group's slightly off and might need a rev up. And so every now and then we get one. Fortunately, I only played the last month at senior level, and we were playing pretty well, so I didn't need one too much recently. But I'm sure if the boys, for whatever reason, need one, they'll get one.
You said you've had a few, Spang. Who gave you the best one, and what was it for?
Got a good one, from Horse Longmire in one of my first games, having a shot from the from the boundary. Just gave a typical... one of my first games forward. I thought that was enough of an excuse to have a shot, but he made sure I squared it up next time.
Hey, what's the best ruck combination for your footy club? We see the McAvoy and Hale, and then our man Segsy comes in, and then we see him out again. And we don't know from the outside what your ultimate setup is. Is there any sort of inside, if he's fit and playing well, he just plays, or what happens?
I think, I don't know what the best combination is, and I think that's probably the beauty of the group at the moment, that all three of them can play and have a really good impact. So at the moment we've got Hale and Big Boy doing a good job, but having said that, Segs has been playing pretty well at twos as well, and I thought he was going all right when he was at the ones, but it's not a bad problem to have.
Footy world loves you, Spang, don't they? People come up, they want to be around you, and as the boys said earlier, have you got a theory on why that is? But people seem to be very enamoured with you when you're out there or when you're not out there.
Yeah, I honestly don't know exactly what it is, but I suppose I try to be, you know, welcoming to everyone who wants to have a chat. I think Shane Crawford was always a big one for giving everyone the time of day, and I remember hearing about that when I was a kid, and certainly when I was, you know, a young kid, met my heroes, I always warmed to the ones that were a bit nicer and gave you a bit of time, and you always remember the ones that aren't. So,
like Chief. Yeah. Is that what you sort of meaning?
Jim, just pull up before you get yourself in trouble.
Hey, well-educated, I'm gathering. Well-spoken. What's the situation there?
Well, you know, I grew up in Melbourne, went to Xavier College, so...
already knew the answer to a question.
So, but, and for me, I've finished a university degree and onto some more stuff, so it's going well.
What did you study?
Business degree.
And brought the nice parcel in from Tasmania. Great news for your footy club today, re-signing 5 years down there.
Outstanding news. I mean, it's a really good partnership and one that we really enjoy, certainly from the players' perspective. So, really, really good news.
Been a favourite of ours, Jim.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. The Triple M All-Australian team, which has got nothing to do with ability, although you've got great ability. It's just who our favourites are, I think, a two-timer.
Who we like. Two-timer. Would be no question. Yeah. And the only way he can possibly miss this year is just out of unfortunate absence.
We're probably still squeezing. Well, I think he squeezes in.
Hey, good luck tonight. Not that you're going to need it. The Hawthorn Footy Club are flying, but for the rest of the year too. Big run home.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
And you, Matty.
Matty Spanger's
well
a star.
Well spoken, Xavier boy, Jim. Yeah. Churn him out.
I think you already knew that.
No, I didn't.
You, in that real sort of
loaded
way. Exactly right, Chief. Ben Dixon joins us. Good on you, Spang. Well done, mate. Gary's just helping himself to the nice Tasmanian
very nice
basket they're brought
hamper
in.
Delivered by Hawthorn. We've opened up a nice
salmon dip,
a smoked cheddar cheese, and a nice salmon dip
salmon
there,
dip.
Warrior.
It's very nice.
You just go and get a bowl of red, and we can give the game a miss.
That's it. This is, of course, the preview for Coates Hire.
Oh,
so
right. Okay.
We're looking forward to that. Hey, before you go, Purple, anything else we need to get at? Kurt Tippett, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, back into the team for the Swans for this crunch game that they've got against the Crows, Jim. And a lot of pressure has come his way, rightly so. The third year of his four-year deal at the Swans, he hasn't delivered, it must be said. And there's a bit of speculation around is that will the Swans attempt to offload him? Now, they're denying that at this stage, and he is contracted for next year, but I do expect it's one of those names, Jim, that come that trade period, the question will be asked. He's on a lot of money. I believe it's still up around the $800,000, Darce, and it may even be more if you believe some people telling you that that's what he's on for next year. So if that indeed does happen, certain clubs are going to have to take on a very big contract, and the Swans, as we know, aren't in the situation or the position, ideally, given their ban on bringing players in, to actually absorb some of those costs. So I would think it would need to be a clean break if they were to go down that path. But look, they're not entering into any talks along those lines at this stage anyway.
And I think it has to be something you'd think about if you're the Sydney Swans Chief and Gaz. I don't think they could have possibly known that they would have, at the time they landed Tippett, which was an amazing coup, because you sort of, that they would get Buddy the next year. Now, obviously, they threw the hat in the ring and there would have been a lot of complication before that deal was done. Suddenly, I've got them both, and I'm not sure they suit each other. I don't think that forward line necessary. If you could go back in time and say, hey, you know what, we'll hang on to Shane Mumford. We probably, for an extra $100,000, he'd still be there. Yeah. I think that was definitely the deal breaker was just the money. If you could hang on to Shane Mumford, keep Buddy, and we could free up all that salary cap room and maybe get an early draft pick again. Obviously, I can't go back and do that, but no. I'm sure they would if they could.
I think after recruiting Tippett and Franklin, the one thing the Swans need to do is that those couple of trades need to reap a premiership, at least a premiership. So, you know, you spend big dollars like that on big-term contracts, you've got to show the fruits of your labour, and they would be feeling the pressure, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, and look, you throw Sam Reed into that mix as well as a 6'4", 6'5", key position forward on a five-year deal, and you're pretty hamstrung, really. And you got the three of them now, and you look at, you almost say three's too many, certainly from a forward point of view. So I wouldn't be, well, I don't know, it's a Dama, you're telling me that, so I believe it. I'd be looking at what they could do with Kurt Tippett.
Yeah.
Sure.
Look, well, I've got no doubt come that trade period his name will be there. But again, clubs are well aware that the money that he's on is basically prohibitive. Well,
the Swans end up paying some of it.
Well, that's the situation they're in, isn't it? But as we know, and just for those people who aren't up to speed with it, they cannot bring a player into their club that's going to cost them more than $350,000. This is all part of the cost of living allowance, which is being phased out. And as it stands right now, for the second year in a row, they're not allowed to bring anyone in on a contract above $350,000. So I'm just raising that in the context of the Tippett conversation, because they are restricted heavily financially.
If the Swans, Purple, had any inkling that the collateral damage of getting certainly Franklin in the way they did and Tippett was going to be what it's ended up being, would they have done it?
I think you say yes to the Buddy Franklin scenario. I don't
even if the with the draft restrictions they've now got, and with the loss of lack of goodwill from City Hall and all the issues, that they still would have done it, do you reckon?
I think that it was going to be phased out at some stage and in some form anyway, and I think it's hastened that, or has hastened that process. But I think if you can get Buddy Franklin in, you take him in. And as Chief said, it's a transaction that requires a premiership. They went into the grand final last year as favourites, and they very nearly landed a premiership on the first year of it. My views on it, Jim, I think it's a disgraceful deal to have him playing still in 2022, but that's the scenario they're in. Andrew Ireland, the Chief Executive Officer, he's a gambler, but he's a calculated gambler. The times he's gambled, he's done it, and he's done it successfully with the transactions he did at the Brisbane Lions, with the Lynch deal primarily. Yep. He knows what he's doing. He still back himself in, and he will still, as we speak tonight, back the Tippett deal to be in. But it's just something that probably the Bulldogs are going to have to look at to us over the journey. I mean, they got caught up in the maelstrom of their captain walking out on them last year. They then reacted in a very quick way, in a very big way financially with Tom Boyd. And I just wonder now, if they had that time over again, had they had a bit more time to think about it, would they have committed to that man on the money he's on? I'm not questioning his ability, but the money has to be questioned in the way it was done.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that's a pretty different situation with a young 17 or 18-year-old. And I understand there's a huge gamble in it, but to prize out-and-out first-round draft pick key position forwards out was always going to take something exceptional. Time will tell on that. I still think the gamble, and it's just me, I'm not representing the club, but I think the gamble's worth it, and that on that front still, time will tell.
Back on the Swans very quickly, do we think that it's passed them by? Do you think their window is shutting, or does it remain open?
I think it's shutting, and I don't see them, for what it's worth, Gaz, in the premiership calculations when it comes to the pointy end this year, and as such, it's going to be hard for them to rebuild, because apart from the access they've got to the academy kids, they can't bring anyone else in this year. And it's why they fought so hard to keep Grundy, who did have offers. And you say Heath Grundy, big deal, but they couldn't afford to lose him with their backline. I know he's not the premier fullback in the competition, but they signed him to a three-year deal only because they couldn't afford to lose him and then only be restricted to bringing someone in on a 350k wage.
He and Richards have been tremendous foundations of their defence for so long. They are definitely coming towards the end. They are going to have issues replacing those two.
Do you think they're out of the running?
I don't think they're out of the running, no, because there's still too much quality on that list. But there's some obvious problems that they're going to have to deal with.
Do you, Dust? Window shutting?
I'm not sure about the window. I think this year's starting to look really dicey. And I just wanted to make, leaving the story of Adam Goods aside, from a clinical football point of view, that's a horrible situation for Sydney at the moment. At this period of time, they've had a couple of flat weeks to have their whole week, and I'm not saying this is as important as what Adam Goods is facing, but if you're there and your eyes are on winning a premiership, to have all that going, and there's no limit on when that ends or what happens. A, you've lost a player, I think, is actually in really good form and not playing at the moment, but that is a football disaster for them on the field, I think, at the moment.
What about you, Gaz? The answer to your question.
I'm stunned with how quick it's
fallen off.
It's fallen. Yeah. I really am. I mean, 6-8 weeks ago, I had them very much in contention because of the goal-scoring potential, because their hard-nosed midfield, because the hard-running. And the back line, I thought, like Chief, and had been on record as saying, I thought it was a bit flaky, but maybe would have held up. I mean, they've put in uncompetitive performances 2 weeks in a row that aren't top four, like, at all. And I'm really surprised, because they stand for... You know, when they lose in the manner they did against Hawthorn, you expect a pretty ferocious rebound. And it didn't come, albeit against the West Coast. But the West... Oh, and I know, buddy, it was a late withdrawal. But where is this great Bloods spirit that has carried them so far? Maybe it's just wearing a lot of those boys down.
Well, even the Richmond game up there, you know, when they hit front and were pretty comfortably up. And you thought, well, you know, they've now withstood a pretty strong challenge from the Tigers, but they're playing at home and they got to, I think, 18 or 20 points up late in that game. And then to get so easily scored against and defeated is very un-Sydney-like. So that's the stuff that we're all seeing and wondering. I'm sure John Longmire is doing exactly the same thing. Hey, Scott Selwood, got a couple of seconds left. Looks like he is going to be going and playing with his brother down at Geelong.
It is looking that way, Jim. It's been heading that way for some time, and West Coast during the week announced the re-signing of three key young players. He wasn't one of those names, and he's been on record now for some time that he's not going to touch it till the end of the year. The only one that I can remember who left it but to the end of the year and still stayed of a profiled nature was Travis Cloke, and that required Eddie Maguire getting involved in an extraordinary way post-season
as well.
All right,
so Dangerfield, Henderson, Selwood, or maybe even missing some. they're all landing at Geelong, they have to be emptying out in a big way.
Yep.
You just can't. Because I don't know what those blokes are. I mean, we all know Danger's going to be on a fortune.
Yep.
But Henderson ain't going there unless he's going to get paid properly, and neither Selwood.
Selwood's got the brother connection, which I think counts for something. Now, whether West Coast wants to match it, I doubt they will if he wants to go. But you're right. I mean, that's the debate we're still having. And you heard Stevie Johnson last night answer the questions that you guys put to him and said that he hasn't been told yet, despite what some people outside the club think is going to happen to him. But
I don't think Selwood and Henderson are going to be on massive money, Jim. Certainly Lockie Henderson tonight. Not the way he's playing.
You still want Henderson?
But what is... what money?
$350.
Well, so if you're doing that and Selwood's four...
But he's on more than that now.
I don't care. He's not playing like it.
Yeah.
He can stay there at Carlton if he wants, but he next time he comes around, he's going to get the massive haircut. So he just might need to get in a good system, start at a lower wage and then earn his way back up.
So if it's $400 for Selwood, let's say.
Okay, so these are the blokes who are said to be going. So McIntosh, I don't know what he was on.
He was on good money, $400 plus.
So yeah. Rivers, he'll finish up.
It seems that way now.
And then you look at Stokes, Kelly,
Enright,
Johnson. Yep. So there's, let's say, $1.2 million.
Well, again, what are they paying Danger?
$1.2 million.
Okay, so $1.2 million and add $700.
No, they're not paying Danger $1.2 million. They'd be paying him $700-$800, I suppose. So then
it'd have to be north of that.
Then I get,
it would have to be Gary. Well, it's not their wages.
Oh, he's
garried
me. He garried me at up past seven.
He's given you a garring.
What the hell's that
you
all about?
You got the nice garring.
Yeah, well, I don't know what this, but I mean, if they talk about their pay structure and they're not going to compromise their pay structure, then it doesn't put him over the top of Joel Selwood.
Well, it gets back to there has to be a transaction. So they have to give something up, because if you're Adelaide, you're matching it if it's only $750, $800. If it's in the Geelong structure,
yeah, well, they might,
you are going to match it if you're Adelaide.
Well, they might give him 2 years, $2 million over 2 years, and then his next three mightn't be as rich.
How would the Cats go next year, Chief, with Scott Selwood, Lockie Henderson and Paddy Dangerfield in their side? Where would you... Just off the top, your gut feel, where would you see them finishing next year if they added those three?
Yeah, well, they're going to be thereabouts. I don't think it necessarily makes them one of the favourites. I think Dangerfield's a huge inclusion, but a bit like Gaz, I think Henderson's got a lot of ground to make up, and Scott Selwood hasn't played a lot of footy of late, and I think he's at that stage. He's entering the veteran stage now. So
he's a beauty if he's fit.
Oh, hard. He's hard out.
How old's Scott Selwood?
No, he wouldn't be that old.
He'd be
25, I reckon.
Yeah, but okay. 7 or 8 years under his belt.
This needs continuity. If he has continuity through the summer, he'll be a huge addition to that setup.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.